Abraham took a wife, and her name was Keturah. And she bore him Zimran, Jokshan, Medan, Midian, Ishbak, and Shua. And Midian is, in all actuality, where the Midianites come from. That's a child of Abraham, but the Midianites were also going to be enemies to Israel and to Jacob, just like Esau, his brother, was going to be an enemy of his. And it all just points of God's choosing out one particular tribe, one particular child, that God showed mercy to whom he would show mercy to. And that was just one. But he still had other children. These other children became nations. They became kingdoms. He even told Abraham, like for an example with Ishmael, that he would be a prince. And they're descendants of Abraham, but that's not for whom God had chosen to bring about his plan of redemption to the world. Right, and as a result thereof, you have conflict with the seed of the promise. And even though they're children of Israel, they're still not seeds of promise. They're not the children of, or the seeds of promise. That is strictly based on faith. That's where Romans 9 comes in and talks about, just because they're of Israel don't mean they are Israel. They can still be a part of the family, but not be part of the redemptive promises of God. So that's where you go back to Genesis in the beginning, when God said that man shall cleave unto his wife, and the two shall become one, and what God has joined together, let no man put asunder, let no man separate. And that's where men begin to do this, not God doing this, and as a result thereof, God permitted it, but it wasn't his perfect will. Look, they thought differently, did things differently, had a different culture and different ways. Ways that the average American couldn't handle, wouldn't want no part of whatsoever. And the scripture gives us great, great pictures of how these people lived in hope of something even better yet to come. And they walked with God. They were friends of God, even in the midst of it. Pretty neat. God, at the same time, there's still things that God allows that are not his perfect will. I mean, you can look at your own life and see what he's allowed you to do or be participants in, and he's allowed you to do some things that are not his perfect will as well. Now, you may not have multiple wives, but there's other things that you do or you don't do that is his perfect will that you may not be doing. In Acts chapter 14, he said he allowed all the nations to do as they pleased and did not interrupt them. Let them go. In the sense that he did it as a witness, though. He gave them rain. He gave them blessings, seed time and harvest. But he let them go and do as they pleased, but did not interrupt their agendas or their daily courses by bringing them a message to turn and get right and repent and give them a message of great hope, but just gave them a witness of his creation, of his him being creator. Look at that, Acts 14. Our flesh has not been redeemed. It won't be redeemed. But he allows what we have to do is yield to the Spirit and mortify the flesh. But when we don't mortify the flesh, there's a consequence for what we do. But at the same time, there's a permissiveness that God allows. There's been times you've worked in a place that was not part of God's perfect will, but he allowed you to be where you were at. He still provided for you. He still blessed you, but it wasn't his perfect will. So we have to recognize there is a permissive will that God allows us to do things that may not be his perfect will in our life. I mean, that you, I don't think we could look in the truth and look at the history of God's people and say permissive wills can't be. Well, throughout history, we see it over and over again that God doesn't sanction this as being his perfect will, but he allowed it to happen as such. Our salvation is based on Jesus and him alone. Nothing about us. Acts 14, look in let's just start in verse 15. This is in regards to Paul preaching unto a Gentile group of people. And verse 15 says, men, why are you doing these things? Because they wanted to worship them. We also are men with the same nature as you, and preach that you should turn from these useless things to the living God who made the heaven, the earth, and the sea, and all things that are in them, establishing who he is as creator. Who, that is God, in bygone generations allowed all nations to walk in their own ways. There was only one nation that he gave his judgments to and his statutes to, and that was Israel. That's it. He didn't give them to nobody else. He allowed all nations to walk in their own ways. Nevertheless, he did not leave himself, and that's key, himself, without witness. And that he did good, he gave us rain from heaven in fruitful season, filling our hearts with food and gladness. And with these sayings, they could scarcely restrain the multitude from sacrificing to them. Now, he gives us a good indicator here, the fact that, look, God in past times, he allowed the nations to do as they please, but at the same time, he was not without a witness of him being creator. That in itself is just like our conscience. Our conscience bears witness that we've done wrong or right. But our conscience can't redeem us. Neither can a general knowledge of God as creator. But it sure does condemn us to reveal to us that we're not serving him or we're not in relationship with him. And therefore, this witness stands against us. It stands against us in the judgment. It doesn't stand for us in the judgment. It's a witness for himself to testify that I gave you these things, but those things can't redeem us. You see, we've got to have a specific revelation from God. We've got to have a word of the gospel that manifests who he is and what he's done, and that our salvation is not anything we've gained, but it's something that he gives to us by his sacrifice. And apart from that specific revelation, no man will be or can be rescued. And we see here that this was not a specific revelation. This was more of a general revelation as God given a witness of himself as creator. And it would be just like our conscience that testifies against us, but can't rescue us. Like the law, for an example. What is the law? Can the law redeem you? What does the law do? It condemns us. It condemns us to show that we have a need for mercy. But it can't rescue us. The only thing, the only one that can rescue us is Jesus. He's the way, the truth, and the life. And he uses his law to condemn us, to put us in a position that we see we have a need for his mercy. And then he grants unto us that mercy through His Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. He's the only one that can deal with our sin. The law can't deal with that. The law can only point out that we have sinned. And it can only show us God's way, but it can't redeem us from where we are as sinners. Only Christ has that sufficiency to do as such. And to Him be the glory. Amen? Amen. That's why we preach Jesus and Him crucified, so that men will yield themselves over to Jesus. And we teach from the Word of God, the entirety of the Word, the law of God, to manifest God's way and to show how our ways are not in line with His ways. Or when our ways are, it is affirmation and testifying that we're walking in the ways of the Lord. But at the same time, we know that we can only do what we do by the grace of God. As Paul would say, I am what I am by the grace of God. He said, though I labored more than the rest of them, though not I, but the grace of God that was within me. Folks, we're rescued by grace, and we can only live for the glory of God by grace. God doing His work in us. Pam, you was going to say something? First off, we got to think of it this way. The only way to become a child of God is you got to be adopted. Now, by creation, God is creator, and He made man in His image and His likeness. But not everybody on the face of the earth is a child of God. The only way to become a child of God is you've got to be born again. Anyone who is never born again is called a child of Satan. That's why the Scripture, New Testament, gives us light on this, that He refers to them as, you do the will of your father. Who is your father? He says, the devil, Satan. He said, that's why you don't want to, that's why you can't hear the truth, because you're not of God, you are of your father, Satan. You see, when Adam and Eve fell in the garden, When they fell in the garden, everybody thereafter that was born of a woman was born into what we would call, we inherited a nature bent towards sin that was submissive and under the authority of Satan and not under the authority of God. That's why a man has to be born again. So everybody on the earth is not a child of God. Only those who are born again, and when you're born again, what happens, you are adopted into the family of God through Jesus Christ. So that's a theological, that's an understanding of the whole working of God and the position that men are on the face of the earth. You have only two classifications of men, lost and saved. Those that are part of the family and those that are not. Mm-hmm. We're going to look at Acts 17. We'll just see what God says. Acts 17. Look in verse number 22. We'll just start reading there. Paul is in a place called Athens, Greece. And these Athenians and Epicureans were more the philosophy type, and they just worshipped whatever. And they even had a place where they worshipped what they would call to an unknown god. Somebody didn't know. They just said, whoever it is out there. Well, Paul's going to say, I know you don't know him. I'm going to introduce you to him. Let me tell you who he is. Who's this god you don't know? Whom the God I serve. And he starts off, he says in verse 22, then Paul stood in the midst of the Areopagus and said, men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are very religious. For as I was passing through and considering the objects of your worship, notice plural, objects, multiple, pluralism, I even found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God. Therefore, the one whom you worship without knowing, or the one that you are ignorant in worship of, Him I proclaim to you. That is God, who made the world and everything in it. Since he is the Lord of heaven and earth, and does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor is he worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, since he gives life to all, breath, and all things. See, by creative order, God is our creator of every man. But he's not the father of every man. That only comes through being born again. Is that clear? Are we understanding that? He says in verse 26, and he has made from one blood, and that is Adam, every nation of men dwelling or to dwell on the face of the earth, and has determined their pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their dwelling. So God has determined when we would be on this earth and where we would be born or whom, what nation we would be born in, verse 27, so that they should seek the Lord in the hope that they might grope for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as also some of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. Therefore, since we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think the divine nature is like God, gold or silver or stone, something shaped by art or man's devising. Truly, these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent, because he has appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained. And he has given assurance of this to all by raising him from the dead. And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, while others said, we will hear you again on this matter. So Paul departed from among them. And however, some men joined him and believed. Among them was Dionysus and the, how you say that, Areopagite, a woman named Damaris, and others with them. So here we have it. Paul is one, revealing to them as God is creator. God's created all things. And as a result thereof, he is also sovereign over his creation. And he has, before time began, predetermined when you would live on the face of the earth and when or where you would actually be born. So yes, God by design is behind that, of when and where. And we find then, as a result thereof, we can't distinctly understand all the dynamics of what God has done in every facet and how all these things come together, but we could rest assured that we're not here by accident. And the time we were born, and the place we were born, who we were born to, has all been determined by God. And it was even determined before time ever began. That's why we read Hebrews 11:3. Sure could have. You could have been. But all this was determined. None of this just accidentally. You didn't accidentally come into this world when you did and where you live. This was all determined by God. Now, that's hard for us to wrap our mind around, and that's what Paul was introducing these men to that he was talking to. It was saying, look, you're here as a result of this God that you're ignorant of. And I'm telling you about him. He's the one who's created the heavens and the earth. He's the one who's created the sea and everything that's in it. You are a product of his creation, and this creator has a demand on you, and that demand is to repent and to turn to him. And he's proven that he's going to judge all men by one man, Jesus Christ. And he's proven he is the standard of judgment, Jesus, by raising him from the dead. And if you're not as righteous and holy as he, which you're not, you have no chance whatsoever. The only thing you can do is repent and believe upon this God who graciously is granting you mercy and life. And when he heard about the resurrection, the scripture said many of them mocked and mocked that off and laughed at it. So the question would be that you're wanting to get to is not necessarily as much is this by accident, but what about those people around the world that's never heard the gospel? What does the scripture say? Well, not everybody has heard of Jesus. What does the scripture say? Well, just like you've got liberalism and you've got conservative and fundamental groups within Christianity, don't you? So you got different phases of different groups of people in every facet of life. Is Jesus the way, the truth, and the life? Can anybody come to the Father apart from him?
Well, like right here, you know, thank God I was born in a place that I could understand and hear that. But like if I was born in a Muslim country, how do I know to repent?
Unless you have a missionary.
That's right.
You see, this right here is our part of our mandate to go do mission work. Why? Because God's commanded every man everywhere to repent. That this is what launches us out. This is what says go. They won't know to repent unless they've been told to repent. How can they know unless they have a preacher? How can they have an hearing ear of faith unless somebody comes tells them? So we have to recognize there's no doubt about it. We can't get around it. That they are people who are born and die without ever hearing. And a lot of it falls on our backs because we don't go tell them. Are you with me? You can't find him apart from hearing from him. That's right. Right. The scriptures also tell us that nature of ours that is bent toward sin does not seek after him. It's clear that the scripture teaches us that none seek after righteousness.
That's why God sent missionaries, so when you hear the gospel, you have a choice.
Oh, right. But see, that God finds us. He sends people to us. That message is what is used by God to draw us, but from the avenue of knowing how to seek God outside of God finding us, kind of like Abraham. Abraham was that pagan man who was doing what pagans do, who was a Gentile, if we want to say that. That's what he was. And the scripture says God came to him and found him. All Abraham and the rest of his family were serving other gods. They didn't know any better. They were serving gods because there was something in them to worship, and they wanted to worship, and they wanted gods. But it wasn't until God sought him out, found him, and then called him out, spoke to him, called him out, and then led him out and made a nation out of him. At that time, that's all Abraham had. That's how God was working. That's how God established a nation. But what God has done today, there's so much more that God has done since that time of Abraham. And now he has a church that he calls his bride who has a message that Romans 10, for an example, would say. I mean, how can they know unless someone is sent? If no one has come to tell them, they can't know. I got to believe. What does Romans 10 say? Somebody turn to Romans 10.
Romans 10 says,
It is. It's talking about Israel, because everybody that was of Israel, who was born in Israel, who was around the covenant promises of God, who had the judgments, there was even those like Esau for whom God did not show mercy to. Romans 10. But no matter how you look at it, when the scripture says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, right? That means what? Right. So that's a general statement that is specifically talking about everybody. But then I cannot take another passage, for an example, when it says, there is none that seeketh after righteousness, no, not one, and say that, well, that's talking about some people. It's a general, but not everybody's like that. No, that falls in the same category as all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But let's look at Romans 10. Somebody start reading in verse number 9. Okay, let's stop right there. There is no other way than that. There is no other way. You have to know of Jesus. You have to agree with God about Jesus and what Jesus came to do. You have to confess him. You have to believe in him. You have to know him. That's not for some and then others be excluded. There's only one way. That has to be for anybody that will be saved. Has to go through Jesus. Amen? All right, keep reading. Okay, when he says between the Jew and the Greek, he is making the distinction between the people for whom had the covenant promises, the people who had the word of God, and the Greek is talking about the rest of the world. He's talking about everybody else exclusive to being a Jew. That's who he's referring to. So it doesn't matter if you're from Indonesia, if you're from South America, or if you was a Native American. It doesn't matter. He's talking about us when he says the Greek. So whether you are Jew or you are Greek, you have to know of Jesus to be saved. Now, prior to Jesus coming, for an example, Abraham, when God spoke to Abraham, God intervened and spoke to him. Abraham believed what God told him. Abraham followed God. He really didn't understand and know at that time that his salvation would be bought and paid for by this Jesus who would come years and years later. But God did, so he was covered under that blood of Jesus, even though Jesus hadn't come yet. God took that blood of Jesus, even though it hadn't happened yet, and applied it over his life because he simply took God by faith what God said. That's right. But since Jesus came, they have to hear Jesus to come in. Or we can throw it all away. We can throw it all out. All right, keep reading. There we go. You see, how can they call on him if they haven't believed in him? They can't. Keep reading. They can't. Keep reading. It's impossible. Can't happen. Okay. You see, he's telling us how God has shown himself to Israel in comparison to the rest of the world. And in particular, here's a group of people from all over the world who has not sought after the Lord. But God said they found me. Why? Because I sent somebody to them. They wasn't seeking me, but I sent a preacher to them. And that preacher shared a word of faith. And they believed what they heard. They wasn't looking for me. They wasn't seeking me, but I sent them. And that's how they knew and how they came in. And I want to tell you, that's how God works today. Now, with Israel, what happened, God was using this. That's where we get into an area that's very difficult with the wisdom of God, that the scripture says that God put a blindness upon Israel to turn to the Gentiles. That's what he says. Yes, because Paul was a Jew, wasn't he? John and all them. So that's not saying that Israel could not believe. They could. But in part, he put a temporary blindness upon them so that he could extend his mercy unto the Gentiles, and as a result, which would provoke his people to jealousy. So we see that how God's working here, but back to our original point is that they have to hear of Jesus. And unless they hear Jesus, they can't be saved. You got to hear Jesus. And that's why this is part of us. I mean, this is not as much as, well, what about them if they, what will happen to them if they don't hear? It's more about you have heard, you do know my heart. Now you go to them. You carry the message of them. You see, what we do is that we get into this theological debate about, well, what happens if they don't hear? What about these people in the parts of the world that don't get to hear of Jesus? What happens when they die? Well, they die without Jesus. It's more about we need to go. We need to be the ones with the beautiful feet that have heard from God, that has been sent by him. And that doesn't necessarily mean the Indonesia. That means our neighbor. That means wherever we are, we're missionaries on mission for Jesus. Because if somebody doesn't hear of him and respond in faith to him, they'll die without him. And that's what it all boils down to. Got to hear of Jesus. And you and I have been richly blessed to hear of him, to know him. Now, what do we do with that? Is that it ought to be everything that I do ought to be to carry that message to somebody else. It doesn't matter what it is I do. Whatever I do, however I live, wherever I work, whatever community I'm in, wherever I go on vacation, wherever I travel, whatever I do in life, it has an aim behind it. And that is to tell men of this glorious Redeemer we have. And how great and awesome his salvation is. Some will believe, some will not. But it's my desire to go tell them, because if I don't tell them, they can't exercise faith. Because they can't exercise faith in something they never heard. And they can't be rescued from sin if they haven't heard